I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network programmed with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
This is Into Tomorrow for the weekend of March 15th, 2019, the Ides of March weekend, also St. Patty's Day weekend. I am Dave Graveline. Thank you for tuning in. Horatio working with the show out of New York City. And Erasmo here on the other side of the glass in our Miami studios. Also in our Miami studios.
Chris Graveline.
And delighted to have you, yes, you, listening in the car, on the treadmill, however, wherever. We want to hear from you. Why are you looking at me funny? Treadmill?
You don't know me very well.
Well, I wasn't aiming it at you. I wouldn't have said you when you're on the treadmill, because that doesn't happen. Poor treadmill. But the fact is, anyone else listening by any other means, we, of course, want to hear from you. We would love for you to participate on the program. Let us send you prizes for doing so. And you can call anytime, day or night. That's the same as saying 24/7. You got a tech question, a digital dilemma we can solve, whatever the case. Maybe you want to help another listener. The number to call anytime. Here, I've got a pen. Jot it down, because you never know. Maybe save us in one of your favorites. We don't have to be number one, two, or three. You know, that should be your significant other and mom or dad or whatever.
What if the show is the significant other?
Well, that's, I would like that. Okay, fine. I was going to say, well, that would be sad. But no. That would make me happy. It would warm the cockles of my heart. So either way, save us in your phone. At what number?
800-899-4686.
Oh, that's cool. It also spells something, I believe.
800-899-INTO.
Oh, as in you're into the show?
Yes.
Or into tomorrow. But you don't have to type out tomorrow on the phone, because right, that's too many digits. So if you want our digits, there you go. 800-899-4686. Some tech news and commentary, and back to your calls as we try to solve more digital dilemmas for you. Oh, and by the way, a special welcome to our newest affiliate, Geek Radio America. They're now running our 3-hour weekly show, as well as our 60-second daily features about tech. Check them out at geekradioamerica.com. Joey Reynolds and his team have joined the family. We're delighted to have them as part of our Into Tomorrow family. So again, check out geekradioamerica.com, where you can hear not only Into Tomorrow, but a whole bunch of other cool stuff.
Toyota has designed an in-car perfuming system that could really stink for car thieves.
Oh, I see where you're going. I think I might like it.
Yeah, the automaker has filed a patent on a system that can either release a custom scent into a car based on a personal profile stored in a driver's mobile device, probably similar to this product we talked about at CES, which was an app-controlled air diffuser.
Right.
That's what it puts scents out. Or
they're going to send us some to give away. We never saw it.
Yeah, that's why I'm not mentioning the name of the company.
Well, good. Either that, or we'll see if they're still going to send for giveaways. And if not, then we'll mention their name and slam them.
That's right.
Because that's true. Whatever happened to those things?
Yeah. Or this system might release a theft repellent.
A theft repellent.
Yeah,
okay.
So instead of a pleasant aroma, Toyota says the system can fill the cabin with immobilizing tear gas if it detects that someone is trying to steal the car.
Whoa.
The patent describes how a pressurized canister would be integrated into the design and be able to release the gas through the ventilation system. Now, Toyota has not yet announced plans to put anything like this system into an actual production car, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, but what if you have, and I've had issues too with my alarm system, or there's some radio interference and I can't disarm, and you've got to just get in and then quick flip the valet switch. I don't want to tear gas myself.
Well, just keep a gas mask on the passenger seat to be safe.
Right. Oh, so then a potential thief can grab it and use it too, and then still take the car.
Yeah.
Roll all the windows down and drive fast so the odor disappears. I don't know how effective that's going to be. But do stay on that for us, won't you?
Think about how many of these patents actually make it to production. Yes, most of them do not.
I know, very few. Facebook's user base is shrinking, not just because of their outage last week, but particularly in the coveted 12 to 34-year-old demographic. It's supposed to be 13 minimum to get on there, but that's the demographic they're talking about. That, according to new survey data compiled by market research firm Edison Research. The survey, which only collected data about users in the U.S., Facebook's most lucrative market, of course, found that an estimated 15 million fewer people use Facebook today than they did in 2017. 15 million fewer users. That ought to tell you something. With the biggest drop being among teen users and millennials. Of course, because once mom and dad got on Facebook, they got off as quickly as possible. It's hard to tell from the data if Facebook's glory days are in the past, especially when there's no confirmation if those 15 million users were actual people or just bots in many cases. And they did work harder to get rid of a lot of those bots. So some of them, let's assume some of those 15 million, air quotes, users were bots during campaigns and stuff. But we're talking about 2017. You know, the presidential campaigns were long done by then. So I don't know. But still, fewer people on Facebook than before.
I feel so bad for Facebook.
I'll bet.
Can you hear the sarcasm in my voice?
Yeah. I think you should post your sadness on their behalf.
Yeah, they might delete it.
Yeah, probably.
Canada recently passed strict transparency rules that require online platforms to keep a registry of all political and partisan advertisements that they directly or indirectly publish. Now, I'm guessing that was too much work for Google, as they're just straight out banning political advertising on its platform before the Canadian federal election.
Whoa.
Colin McKay, Google Canada's head of public policy, released a statement saying, "For the duration of the 2019 federal election campaign, Google will not accept advertising regulated by Bill C-76. We're focusing our efforts on supporting Canadian news literacy programs and connecting people to useful and relevant election-related information."
Of course, how do they determine what's relevant or not?
Exactly. So I guess
others may determine there's some relevancy to other stories.
Yeah. So you know, this bill apparently didn't say that you couldn't have political advertisements, just they had to keep a log, and I guess they just didn't want to do all that work. So they just won't be accepting any political advertising.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
I wish they would do that here in the U.S. because, I mean, whether I agree or not, I get tired of all the political ads around election time.
Oh, and we haven't seen nothing yet. I mean, what is there, about 180 Democrat hopefuls already? There's a whole bunch listed. And Joe, who knows? Yes, no, maybe, whatever. There's all kinds of opportunity, but we haven't seen anything like we're going to see, let's say, 8 months, a year from now. It's going to be just nuts. You're not going to want to get on social media or turn on a television because you're going to be so bombarded with all this stuff. Or don't even check your mail out of the mailbox because it's going to be nuts. But that happens every 2 years, certainly every four, you know, in presidential election time. So it's going to be crazy. Got to be a way to solve that problem. 2 years ago, Apple announced that it hopes to stop mining the earth one day. They have in quotes. But the truth is that goal remains a distant one for Apple. For a company that sells over 200 million smartphones a year, along with millions more tablets and computers, achieving what sustainability they brag about has not been happening. There are 118 elements on the periodic table. An iPhone contains 75 of them. So they haven't stopped mining the earth at all. Even though 2 years ago they said, that's our goal. But one day we're going to do, they haven't made any effort. And, oh, well, I mean, I get it. You got to have the stuff in order to build the technology. But then don't tell us that we're going to stop mining the earth one day and we're working toward that. They haven't made a dent at all. So just talk about the things you can do and not about pie in the sky or pie in the dirt that you think you want to do.
Just plant a couple trees. I'll be fine.
Yeah, there you go. There's an option.
Netflix defended itself in the wake of reports that legendary film director Steven Spielberg was campaigning to exclude the streaming service from eligibility at future Oscars ceremonies. Hmm. Spielberg was planning to ask for a rule change that would prevent streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon from competing in the Oscars. Spielberg instead wants films on streaming services to compete at the Emmy Awards. In what appeared to be a response to these reports, Netflix's film account tweeted a list of defenses for the streaming service. Their tweet read, "We love cinema. Here are some things we also love. Access for people who can't always afford or live in towns without theaters. Letting everyone everywhere enjoy releases at the same time. Giving filmmakers more ways to share art. These things are not mutually exclusive."
Good for Netflix on that one. but I tend to agree to the extent that they should be more of the Emmys, because you don't watch them in a movie theater, Netflix films. You don't watch them in a drive-in. Anybody still have a drive-in in their town? You watch them on smaller devices, even if it's a 65-inch TV. It's not a movie screen.
Well, some of them. I mean, I've seen a few Amazon original films in the movie theater.
You have?
I have.
Oh.
There was a Steve Carell one that was in the theaters. And I didn't even know it was an Amazon movie until I was at the theater, and I see the big Amazon Studios logo come up at the beginning.
Yeah, but that's not Netflix.
Well, but that's, they would be...
He's talking about Amazon
and streaming service. Yeah.
Any streaming. Got it. Wow. Well, the plot thickens.
Maybe he's just scared because the releases that are coming out from these streaming services tend to be sometimes just as good as any theatrical release.
Or better in many cases.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched a part of a movie with Cameron the other day that he wanted to see, that Jurassic School. Couldn't have been a more pathetic put-together film that we've seen. And it was only like a year and a half old. I would have understood if it was many years ago and had the worst attempt at CG ever.
I would have thought it was like a high school video project.
Yes,
something.
It looked more like that. I mean, not only poor acting, but poor effects. Oh, gosh. But he was amazed with it. At 6 years old, he thought it was cute and funny. And we were like, when is this over? This is crazy. And, oh, my gosh, it was nuts. And that one, you could have put it on anything, Netflix, or if I don't think it ever made it to movie theaters, because somebody looked at it and went, oh, no way, I'm not gonna subject theater goers to it. And there's a lot of films like that that just aren't worthy of not only a big screen, but worthy of even a streaming thing. But somewhere, somehow, and I think we watched it on Showtime On Demand. And you think Showtime bought that at some point? That's nuts. It was just pathetic. So now a new controversy that IBM very likely used your Flickr photos in their AI, artificial intelligence, facial recognition project. The million or so images were shared under the very liberal licenses, of course, that Flickr photographers were forced to choose. We all had signed up for Flickr at one point or other. Yeah, I agree, whatever, whatever. Basically, they could share your pictures with anybody. Well, they shared them with IBM, but they probably didn't picture that this would happen. In this case, IBM using your pictures for AI facial recognition projects. And you never gave anybody permission to do that. Well, yeah, you did, because you hit, I agree. And they could do whatever they want with them.
Well, you know, and I'm certainly not sticking up for IBM, but I've always said since
don't,
the beginning.
They're not worth it.
Right, I've always said since the beginning that you can never upload anything to the internet and expect any kind of privacy or with it.
Yeah, of course not. There's no such thing. We've been saying for the majority of our 24 years on the air here that forget privacy. Just isn't happening anymore. Especially with the internet and anything else you might want to get to. And in the case of, and Flickr, didn't they just recently change their rules and they dumped like thousands and thousands of photographs from everybody?
Yeah, because they took these accounts that you used to get for free and said, oh, no, if you want to enjoy those same perks, now you got to pay.
Yeah. And it's bad enough that people like IBM are paying them money to steal our pictures, and they're not happy enough with that they want to charge us more money or just randomly say, okay, you got 30 days, take your pictures and download them somewhere or lose them. We don't care. And by the way, it's in the agreement. We could do whatever we want with your pictures. So we're just giving you some notice.
Mm-hmm.
So Flickr. I'll flick them something. See how I feel about that.
There you go.
All right.
Speaking of privacy, plans to bring facial recognition to major U.S. airports by 2021 are on a fast track, despite concerns about the new technology's readiness.
Oh, they're going to probably use the IBM AI project.
Maybe. President Trump in 2017 issued an executive order expediting the development of biometric verification of the identities of all travelers crossing U.S. borders. It stipulates that facial recognition identification be used in the top 20 U.S. airports for 100% of all international passengers,
wow,
including American citizens, by 2021. The mandate to accelerate the timeline for implementation of the biometric system initially was signed into law by President Obama.
Interesting. So speeding things up here. And
as international travelers, we'll probably notice that by 2021, we'll be getting our faces scanned as we enter the country.
Well, we do anyway. I do anyway every time I go to China. I mean, you even see it on the displays. They're doing facial recognition and have been for years. And they're ahead of the curve there. And they're also, checking your temperature to look for fevers, all just by cameras as you walk through the airport and check in.
Yeah, I remember that when we went to Taiwan, it was the same way.
And
I think even Dubai, I think, did a similar thing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's about time that the U.S. catch up.
Yeah, so
and maybe we're able to also, again, here's the former cop in me coming out, maybe they can also apprehend some people who are wanted felons the same way.
Right, so this will be the top 20 U.S. airports by 2021. I haven't seen whether or not this, if or when this will be required at all international airports.
I'm sure it would be ultimately as they roll things out. But top 20, that includes us here in Miami.
Yeah.
So interesting, quite. Cindy in Delaware listens on Delaware 105.9 FM, WXDE. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, Dave. I just was wondering, I have two questions. I have 1,000 questions, but I'll only do two right now.
Okay.
I'm wondering how to go and take all my videos that I've taken over the years, family videos. What's the best and most reasonable way to go about getting them put on discs? My second question is, I heard you talking about a smart plug, and I'm just wondering, how does one go about that? I have the Google Home. I wondered if I could use that with the smart plug. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Cindy. How to get your videos on disc, of course, depends on where you shot them in the first place. If these are old VHS tapes, your best bet is to take them to a professional business these days to do it for you. There's some equipment required, and it's a very slow process since you need to play the tape in real time. As we have learned, you're better off outsourcing that kind of work, maybe not to your local CVS, because Chris had a heck of a time trying to do that recently. But there's several companies that do that.
Yeah. Now, if these are smartphone videos, you can probably transfer them to a computer and burn them to a disk from there. This is assuming you have a computer that still has a optical drive, because
computers
don't. The problem you're going to run in is that the transfer part is easy, but finding a computer with the optical drive, like I said, is less easy these days. Now, still, if you know anyone with a computer with an optical drive, you can transfer them that way. Keep in mind that DVDs are pretty much on their way out too, so you might as well skip over them and keep the digital files instead, since you can play those on all these new TVs as well.
Yeah, exactly. You don't really need or want in the long run to just have everything on DVDs. Now, as far as smart plugs, typically when you buy one, it'll come with instructions to download an app. And it's usually that app that does the setup for you and lets you connect it to Google Home. It's not very hard, but the steps will differ from app to app. You won't have any issues with it, though. You'll just use the app, probably connect to a Wi-Fi network put out by the plug, and give it the password for your real Wi-Fi network and just go from there. It won't be difficult for you to figure out. Trust us on that. It's easy.
Yeah, it seems everyone is making smart plugs, and that can be confusing for a first-time home automator like you. Fortunately, every home automation device, be it a plug, wall switch, or even a single light bulb, will indicate which digital assistant it's compatible with. Most low-cost solutions use the same electronic components from a single manufacturer, so there's little difference in the one you purchase.
Yeah, we'll have some more information at our site. Visit us at intotomorrow.com.
OWC, your source for connectivity, offers a wide variety of USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 docks to help you connect to your world. Ranging from travel docks with HDMI, USB 3, SD ports, and USB-C power pass-through while on the road, to desktop docks providing power to charge your laptop, and 14 ports to connect your monitors, external drives, headphones, wired Ethernet, and other devices using a single cable. See all the OWC products at owc.com/into. We'll be right back.
Russ Moe in the control room. I'm Dave Graveline.
And I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Make knowledge your superpower for managing type 1 diabetes. Visit Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Hey, don't let a scammer take the fun out of your favorite game. Here with some good advice on how not to get played is Ken Higgins for OWC. Ken?
Thanks, Dave. We all download applications and games to use on our favorite devices. But did you know there are ways that scammers will utilize your favorite game to gather personal information? If you get an email about an alleged issue with your app or device asking you to click a link, think before you click. First, hover your mouse over the email address to ensure it's an email from a trusted sender. Also, poor grammar and spelling are key clues that the email is a scam, as well as multiple emails from the same sender. If you're still not sure, be safe and contact the developer or device manufacturer yourself by simply logging in to their website. Remember, always be skeptical of unsolicited email. And now, back to you, Dave.
Well, thank you, Ken. We invite you for much more. Oh, and by the way, special products and pricing for our Into Tomorrow listeners. Visit owc.com/INTO. That's owc.com/INTO. And while you're online, be sure to check us out and all of our new posts regularly at intotomorrow.com.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962.
Because everyday technology should make every day easier, certainly not more complicated, you're tuned into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. We've talked on the show over the years, and certainly more now than ever before, a growing number of small businesses, organizations, all kinds of folks doing their own promotions these days and looking, of course, to social media management platforms to help schedule their social media posts, to also analyze the performance of those posts and reply to their community. Well, the public relations manager for an organization called Buffer is Haley Griffiths. Haley, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me, Dave.
It's a pleasure to have you because you do, and we have some experience with Buffer as well for our intotomorrow.com site, you do help manage social media accounts in many ways, but certainly the ability to get the word out, you know, and, oh, hey, guess what? We've got Haley Griffiths from Buffer on the show this week, where it'll automatically put things out on our various social media posts. And boy, does that make life easier.
Well, we hope so. That's definitely the point, is to save people time in small businesses, especially, you know, you have so many things on the go. Anywhere that we can cut a few minutes or even an hour out of your week, saving you time on something like social media management, it's really a pleasure for us.
Oh, for sure. And it's really easy to use. I mean, I fortunately don't do a lot on the web. We have a team that does that because they know what they're doing. But I'm told that anyone can sign up for free, correct me if I'm wrong, and start to get a taste of how Buffer can make a difference for you, your organization, your small business, whatever the case. Give me a better idea than what I've described as to how Buffer helps folks.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the main things is what we've just talked about in terms of saving people time, but also keeping everything in one place. I mean, usually as a business, there are several places where your audience might be that you want to reach them, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, maybe LinkedIn, and that's a lot to manage. So we help people by putting it all in one place. you can schedule posts to go across your network and across several different accounts. So, you know, Dave, maybe you'd want something to go out on your personal account as well as the Into Tomorrow account. And we make it a lot easier to put one message in and have it sent out in multiple places. So definitely saving people time. We have some really beautiful analytics so that people can go into Buffer and see how are my posts doing, what is it that my audience is really interacting with, and what's really resonating with them. And then we do also have a way for people to reply to comments and tweet Twitter replies and even in Facebook comments and things like that through Buffer too. So just sort of like an all-around way to help people manage their social media.
And it's great that I think that's a terrific part that you can also have it go to other accounts, because of course you're going to have your business accounts and your posts and information should go out to all the social media that your business is smart enough to be on. But the fact that you can also do it with, you know, individuals is also very helpful, because in your case, public relations manager, you want to get the word out too about things that maybe your main Buffer account has done. And I certainly would, as you brought up, you know, want to do the same for, hey, guess who's on the show this week? We're talking to people like Haley and so forth, that I want it to automatically go out on my personal one as well. And that's, as if that's not good enough, you've got the ability to have all these cool response in, you know, bits of information. The idea of the analytics, which makes such a difference. Do you find that people get a little bit confused by those and takes a little learning curve maybe to figure that out? Or are they just instantly helpful?
Well, we try to make them as easy as possible. So ideally, even if you have no analytics background, which honestly is myself and many people, like, you know, I'm not a professional at analyzing all of the data, but ideally it's going to be really easy when you go in. There are very colorful charts. It's really easy to click through things to see if you're looking for today or tomorrow. Are you looking at just Twitter? Are you looking at Twitter and Instagram? So they've made it quite easy so that you can kind of go in and then really get the information that you're looking for, which is usually what's doing well and what can we do more of. And so we're helping people get the answers to that as simply as possible.
And that is so important for one's business especially, or an organization, a school or association, whatever the case. What's working, do more of. What you're getting virtually no response from or very little, well, do less of that. And it might be time of day or day of week or what you're posting. You know, does it include a picture or a video? And therefore, it's likely, more likely, I'm guessing, to get noticed than just a text. Those are the kinds of things that I think are easy for even people like you and I to grasp.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's true. There are so many differences. Maybe your audience is online on weekends, but you don't want to be working on weekends. So it makes a lot of sense to schedule that so that you're still engaging with your audience on the weekends through those social media posts without having to work yourself. So it's very true that there are definitely different days and times of the day that work better depending on who your audience is.
Sure. And I'm assuming that your analytics also help determine what best days and times you should be posting to various social media. And have you discovered that it's better to tweet on this day and time versus Instagramming or Facebooking on this day and time? I mean, do you help determine those kinds of things as well? And then, of course, Buffer will set it up for you.
We have a couple of different resources to help people figure that out. The answer is that it's quite complicated and it totally depends on your audience. I mean, are they on the East Coast? Are they on the West Coast? Are they in Europe? The time zone that the people that you're trying to reach are in is going to drastically change when you want your posts to go out. So we do have many resources for people to start discovering this themselves. And then in the analytics, it's just easy to go in and see, wow, I'm getting all of my engagement on Monday. Maybe I should schedule more things to go out on Monday. Or, you know, I'm posting to LinkedIn on the weekend and no one's responding, probably because people who use LinkedIn are not using it on the weekend. So maybe I should change this to Monday through Friday. So the analytics definitely have several ways to show you what's working. And then, yeah, like you said, it's super easy to then input that into your schedule so that from then on, when you're entering posts into Buffer, they're going into spots where you know your audience is online.
And I love the fact that you can schedule them various times on each different social media, right? It's not like, okay, this is going to go out, and it's going to go out everywhere at this day and time. I have no control. You've got complete control, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can set a different time. And, you know, we do we do this. We set a different time for Twitter than for Instagram than for Facebook because we're posting way more on Twitter than we are on Instagram and Facebook. And in Instagram, maybe we want to post in the morning to get people when they're on their morning commute and they're checking Instagram on the bus or something like that, you know? Yeah. So absolutely, you can change the schedule for each social platform. And then as you add things in, it'll just be put into the spot that's next going out.
Terrific. I'm imagining folks listening saying, wow, that sounds great. So do I do a post on my website and then I've set Buffer up so it automatically grabs maybe whatever featured image I'm using and puts it out to the various social media that we use? Does it do that kind of thing as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can just take the link from that post and put it into Buffer and we will grab that featured image for you, or you can choose any of the other images that are on that blog post, because sometimes you might want to choose more than one. Since on several social networks, you can share more than one photo with a post. But yeah, absolutely. And we have the desktop browser, which is where a lot of people are working from, but we also find a lot of people that are doing social media are doing it from their phones. So we make this really easy to do from your phone as well. And in fact, our iOS app, our app for the iPhone, just won an award this year, and it's super simple to use, and you can grab links and still upload them to Buffer through your phone just as you would on desktop.
Well, congrats. That sounds very cool. And I like the fact that you can do different images too. Now, on Twitter, it's typical. Maybe you're going to select an image and get it out there. But now with Instagram and Facebook, you can have up to, 10 images, I think. So you can make it more interesting for your potential audience if they want to scroll through or look at different images, and hopefully you can engage them a little more effectively that way.
Absolutely. Images are so, so powerful. And I think one of my favorite features is, this one's for Instagram, you can add a photo that you want to go out on your Instagram profile to Buffer, and then you can do a grid preview, and it will show you what that photo will look like in your Instagram grid next to all of the other photos that you're posting, because it's a big thing on Instagram to have a really beautifully designed grid and to have super beautiful photos on there. So we've made it easy to sort of check, are the photos that you're putting up right now in line with everything else that you've been sharing and really your vision for what you want your Instagram grid to look like?
Oh, so in other words, like I've seen a lot of folks that do maybe 6 different pictures, but as you look at it on the grid, they all kind of line up nicely and become like one big image. And that's certainly an attention getter right there.
Yeah, you can do that very easily.
Cool. Now, of course, the key question that I'm hearing in my head with listeners screaming, how much is it? So how do you price Buffer? Is there a free version to kind of whet people's appetite? And then the more involved you want to get, you know, you start paying. How does that work?
That's exactly how it works. So anyone can go to buffer.com and sign up for a free plan where they can connect 3 social accounts. You can get your Facebook, your LinkedIn, and you know your Instagram or whatever you might be using, and schedule 10 posts at a time. And from there, if you want to add on more social media networks, maybe Pinterest, maybe Google Plus, if you're using Google Plus, that would be more of our pro account. That one's $15 a month. And then we have a whole range of business plans if you're looking for a lot of social media accounts.
Cool.
I find most small businesses, they probably only have a couple of social networks, so they can get by on either the free account or the pro account for $15.
Cool. And it's certainly affordable for most small businesses to be able to engage their audience and their prospects. And that's the key, I think, if you're doing any kind of sales or, you know, trying to engage other people, new folks to your business, you want to get the word out. And social media is most definitely the way to do it. I've always heard that Buffer is a company known to have a really unique culture. In our remaining minute or so, tell me about Buffer's culture.
Yeah, well, the whole Buffer team, there are about 80 of us, and we all work remotely around the world. So I'm working from home today, and that is quite unique. We don't have an office. We've made it so that we have people in all sorts of different time zones, and that really does help our customers because we have people working and responding to customer inquiries all the time. And we're also a business that really believes in transparency. Maybe you're wondering, well, if I give you $15 a month, where does that go? We share that very transparently. We have a whole blog and a whole website about our transparency where you can go to learn more about our revenue, how we spend the money that we have, what we've budgeted for the year. You can even find out, you know, our CEO's salary or anyone else's salary that you're interested to learn about. Cool. So we are extremely transparent as well as a business. It's one of the values that we hold very close.
Terrific. Well, check out buffer.com, B-U-F-F-E-R.com. Haley, you're a delight to chat with. I look forward to getting you back on the show. There's so much more to talk about, and especially if you can help all of us with more engaging with social media, then we certainly want to get you back on soon.
Thank you so much, Dave. It was a pleasure to chat with you.
My pleasure as well. Buffer.com. I'm Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow continues right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179.
As Into Tomorrow continues, Douglas Engelbart invented the very first computer mouse, which is made out of wood. And he created it in 1964. Ooh. That was not that long ago. I'm stealing some This Week in Tech History stuff, although it wasn't necessarily this week. But I find it fascinating to share with our audience some cool technology tidbits. And by the way, do you have a funny or clever name for your Wi-Fi router? Or do your neighbors or people that you visit and you've run across some things? Please share them with us, and we're sharing them with the world. We'll do a couple of more of those coming up momentarily. By the way, I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by OWC, providing super fast SSDs for photographers and videographers. Get special products and pricing for Into Tomorrow listeners at owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into.
Jonathan in Atlanta, Georgia, listens on AM 920, The Answer. Hello, Jonathan.
I wanted to call and thank you for the Gorilla Light prize that I won, and I received it a couple of days ago. It's coming in very useful, and I wanted to just call and say thank you for it, and I appreciate it, and I will continue to listen to you every Saturday evening. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. That's very nice. It's not often, frankly, that we hear from listeners that just want to call to say thanks. So we'd like to share that every so often. And Jonathan, what a nice guy. You have a blessed day as well. Yes. And very cool. Do you have a fun or clever name of your Wi-Fi router? You know, you can change it. A lot of people just leave it at home or the company's name, you know, the Wi-Fi router name or something. You can always change it. Get creative.
Well, mine at home is the Tiki Bar.
Of course it is.
Well, because, you know, I've been redoing my house like a Key West island resort, so the Tiki Bar seemed to fit for my Wi-Fi.
Last time I was there, I thought it was Casa de Graveline.
Yeah, well, that was old.
Me or the Wi-Fi router name? Yeah, thanks. But how about this one? This is a hidden network. Well, it's not so hidden if you can read that. I like this one, though. I now pronounce you man and Wi-Fi.
I see what they did there.
Yeah, that's probably from a church. You never know. Let me out of this router. We're talking about Wi-Fi router names. And if you've got funny ones or your neighbors do, we want to hear from you and share them with us. 800-899-INTO. Here's a fun one, too. Life is short. Have a bit of free Wi-Fi. Now, that was nice of them.
Nice. Hopefully it's an open network so they actually can have free Wi-Fi.
Well, good point. I don't know if it has a little lock symbol on it, so they might just be teasing. But if not, hey, life is short. Have a little bit of free Wi-Fi on me. You know, that's a good name for a router. Unless it's someone who wants to try to steal your info. All of these, if you happen on them, unless it's your own, don't do banking or credit card purchases or anything like that. You have a couple that you've observed lately?
I've sniffed out a list of Wi-Fi.
Oh, I see what you're... Oh, geez.
For the hip-hop fans, you've got the Wu-Tang Land.
Nice. Rosmo liked that one.
Who pooped in the pool?
Yeah.
that's a good one if you live in an apartment community. So that, you
know. Oh, my. Yeah, that's true. Just somebody seeing that on their Wi-Fi list is going to go, oh, man, we were going to go swimming.
That's a good way to make sure you get the pool to yourself.
Yeah.
See, another one is, you fart pretty loud. Again, I guess it would be good for apartments if you live close to your neighbors. I'm cheating on my Wi-Fi.
Okay.
This LAN is my LAN.
Oh, I have one that goes along with that. Silence of the LAN.
Ooh.
It kind of makes you wonder about that one. How about, this is my Fi, not your Fi? Yeah, just another one that's clever. Somebody thought, you know what, don't be getting on my Wi-Fi.
Which goes along with my next one, Nacho Wi-Fi.
Nacho. That's Taco Bell's Wi-Fi network. Nacho Wi-Fi. Luke, I am your Wi-Fi.
No!
Listener and longtime friend Suds says, I'm not great about confronting neighbors, so I renamed my Wi-Fi router, Everyone Hates Your Rooster, Greg.
He must live in Hialeah.
I was going to say, we were talking about Hialeah earlier.
So if you missed that reference, you have to tune into Hour 1.
Yeah, don't miss Hour 1's tech news, because that was fun. One of my favorites, covet not thy neighbor's Wi-Fi. So again, we're talking about fun, clever, interesting Wi-Fi names for routers, things that you might run across when you open Wi-Fi on your phone, laptop, tablet, whatever. And if you have some fun ones, if you yourself have one that's interesting, share it with us at 800-899-INTO. Share a handful of them. I mean, if you got some creative neighbors, do a screenshot and then just send it to us or something, and we'll have some fun with them.
I think we're going to have a lot of listeners this weekend going and changing the name of their Wi-Fi networks to some of these.
Yes, and rightly so, because don't leave it at the boring thing that comes out of the box. Who cares? Get creative. Have fun with it. I still think one of my favorites, though, is FBI surveillance van, because that just makes people go, what? You don't know. You look out the window. Is there really one? You know. What do you think? Intotomorrow.com. And again, 800-899-INTO.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
Welcome back into Tomorrow, reminding you the first ever VCR, was made in 1956. It was the size of a piano. That'll give you some perspective to your DVR these days. Yes, indeed.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. Text the word radio to 35,000 for more information. Again, text the word radio to 35,000.
If you are not yet receiving our free once-a-week tech newsletter, a tear comes down my cheek. Please subscribe to our once-a-week tech newsletter. It's very easy to do. Visit intotomorrow.com. A little box pops up. You put only your email address, which I promise you we share with no one. And then once a week, you'll get a little tech news, who's on the show this week, some thoughts to make you smile, a few other interesting tidbits, and some other info.
Beth's tech tip this week, helping you look your best with tech. Online tools to help with hair and makeup that you can access from the comfort of your home.
Oh, and of course, everyone concerned about online safety. Well, we tell you this week how you can be secure and how you can secure your online accounts with two-factor authentication. And which sites have it, therefore which sites don't and should. It's all on the Into Tomorrow tech newsletter. Free. Sign up at intotomorrow.com.